up to you and me to shine a guiding light and lead the way. United by our cause, we have the power to pursue what we believe. We'll achieve the realization of our dreams.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of New Horizons, the weekly radio program from Blind Citizens Australia. This program goes out on all of the RPH stations across Australia and it's available online through a podcast or from the Vision Australia Library. If you'd like to know more, contact Blind Citizens Australia. We'll be happy to help you. Today we speak to a new member of staff with Blind Citizens Australia about a very interesting project that BCA has been funded for to deliver, particularly in New South Wales, the ACT, Victoria and South Australia, but also in other jurisdictions as well. Naomi Barber, welcome to the program.
Well, thanks for having me.
You've not been with Blind Citizens Australia all that long, so tell us about what your role with BCA is and where you've come from.
So I've got a diverse background, including starting off my working career in music and the retail industry. But the last 15 years, my background has mainly been centred around community services. I specifically worked for the Deaf Society and then moved into roles within the employment space. And those roles allowed me a really good opportunity to develop some innovative and creative solutions to some service delivery. And that ultimately led me to working for BCA in this very exciting venture as a project officer with the organisation.
And you're based in Sydney?
Well, I'm actually based in Newcastle, but it's only an hour and a half from Sydney, so I have the opportunity to travel down and meet with the team when need be, and I'm not too far away from our state coordinator as well.
Oh, that's good. And it's quite a nice train trip down from Newcastle to Sydney. I've done that a few times.
It's lovely, yeah, it really is.
Now, we're here specifically today to talk about a project that that you're overseeing, and that's related to the information linkage and capacity building framework within the NDIS. Just remind the listener what the ILC actually is.
Yes, yeah, so the information linkages and capacity building funding is basically through the NDIS, and there's two parts to it. It's either to provide information referral and capacity building supports for people with disabilities, their families and carers that are not directly tied to a person through an individually funded package. But what that means is, I specifically for BCA and what we're doing at the moment is I'm creating and developing a series of training that will have a focus on peer mentoring and leadership. And the aim of this training is to empower people within the community to support one another through peer mentoring, which will also mean the development of some personal skills like self-advocacy, expressing yourself, self-management, communication and understanding others. And then the other component is the leadership training, which will take place towards the middle of next year and will invite some of the emerging leaders within the community and people who are keen to develop their leadership capabilities, be it in a work setting or if they're looking at maybe board opportunities in the future. And we'll look at things like leadership, motivation, negotiating, behaviours of leaders, confidence, influence, just for example. So there's a lot happening with the ILC program and all the projects, and we are hoping that we'll be able to involve quite a few people from a variety of locations to be involved in the training as it rolls out next year.
There's quite a lot of talk at the moment about leadership and mentoring across the disability sector. Just how important do you think it is and why?
It's really important because when you're somebody who's needing some support, it doesn't always have to be formal support. And some of those really great informal supports that we get are from people that have a similar experience to us, or they've gone through something that we've gone through physically, health-wise, mental health-wise, that you don't necessarily need to go and get some really formal supports around. And you just want to have a chat to somebody else or learn some information from somebody else that is more of a peer to you. So when we talk about peer mentoring, I think the real positive around it is that we can lean on one another and develop one another in a way that's not necessarily through formal training and things like that. And you don't have to be a leader to be a peer mentor. You don't have to be 40 years old to be a peer mentor. You can be someone who's quite young but has gone through a unique experience that can relate to somebody else. So it's not defined by one particular thing, which means that we can look at a variety of different mentors from different areas, ages, backgrounds, demographics. So that's why I think peer mentoring is such a big thing, but also why it's so powerful within our communities as well. And when we talk about leadership, we really want to look at the people within our communities, those people that have the ability to develop their leadership skills, be it personally or professionally, to do some really amazing things within our community. And so the focus that BCA will have next year around the mentoring and leadership will hopefully really shine the light on some people that have some great skills, and we should unearth some really great talent and be able to move forward with using that talent to strengthen the community.
This is something that BCA has been doing for quite some time. Last year, there was an Emerging Leaders program held where people from all over Australia came to talk about leadership and to talk about playing their role within their communities as a leader. Is this a flow-on from that?
It is a little bit. So we will be looking at some people that have done some training and participated in some workshops with us in the past, but we will be calling on new people. So people that maybe aren't in leadership roles at the moment, maybe considering developing some of those skills. So we are going to look at that being a bit of a continuum, but looking at diversifying and bringing more people in.
And just how do you propose to do that, and what's your time frame?
So the time frame runs from between now and about 8 months we've got to do all of this. So, you know, a short time frame to get everything rolling. We will be commencing the peer mentoring training in the early stages of 2019, so the end of January, early February. And then that will run for about 6 sessions, and we will be delivering those via teleconference. And then once we've completed that, we'll be looking at the leadership training, which will be approximately 7 sessions, again, delivered by teleconference. But we hope to have a considerable amount of resources that will be made available after the training. And smack bam in the middle of the mentoring and the leadership is actually the national convention. So we're hopeful that some of our peer mentors may be able to access the national convention with some support and participate in the national convention, and that we might see some of those people that have participated in the training deliver some things at the national convention as well.
And how many people are you looking for, and how can people get in touch to express their interest?
Yeah, so we're looking at, because we are able to deliver this via teleconference, we'll be looking at around about 40 people, and we're encouraging those people from culturally and linguistically diverse backgrounds, and also those who live in regional and remote areas to apply to access the training. And as I mentioned, it's going to be conducted by teleconference, with the resources being sent to participants and supports being delivered via group chats, email groups. And we're hoping to have a leadership immersion session or weekend built into the training at some point. The best way for people to apply will be through our expression of interest, which we'll be sending out in the coming days. But people can always email me directly or call through to BCA and express their interest on our national 1800 number as well.
How do you know if you're the sort of person who really should be expressing interest in this?
Yeah, sure. So our expression of interest, or our EOI that we've developed, asks a couple of questions. So we want to know, you know, for example, in the peer mentoring, would people be willing to mentor other people in the community? What skills can they bring to the role of a peer mentor? And how do they think that the training would benefit them and benefit their local community? And it might be people, for example, who live in a regional area and think, you know, I have people asking me this same question, or I've had someone who wanted some support and they couldn't get it somewhere, but I really could have delivered it if only I'd had a certain skill set. So they're the people that we'd like to talk to. They're the people we'd like to express an interest so that we can chat to them. And depending on the numbers of people that we get apply, we'll look at who ultimately gets to access the training. But we really would like to hear from a variety of people. And if you're not sure, give me a call and we can have a chat about it.
And I guess it would be fair to say, wouldn't it, that if you're actually considering doing something like this, then you probably are exactly the right sort of person to be applying.
That's exactly right. But we do find that people, often are nervous about new situations and the commitment that they have to give and how will it fit into their life and things like that. So that I'm more than happy to have a chat to people and talk about how we can make it work for them.
Okay, perhaps you could give us your email address.
Sure. So you can get me on Naomi, which is naomi.barber, B-A-R-B-E-R, at bca.org.au. Alternatively, you can call me through the office number, which is 1-800-033-660. And if I don't answer the phone, you can ask to be popped through to me.
Thanks for joining us on the program, and I wish you luck with the project.
Much appreciated, Vaughn. I hope to talk to you afterwards about the success that we've had.
And if you'd like to get involved in that project, you can contact Naomi, naomi.barber@bca.org.au, naomi.barber@bca.org.au. You'll all know by now that the annual general meeting of Blind Citizens Australia, the 43rd annual general meeting, in fact, will be held on Saturday, the 1st of December at 11 o'clock. If you live in Sydney and you're interested, you can go to the Vision Australia office in Parramatta and you can join the event live streamed from Melbourne with a finger food lunch and Christmas trivia to follow. It's at the Vision Australia Parramatta office and it's courtesy of the BCA New South Wales ACT State Division. The stream, of course, will be available to everybody no matter where you are in the world. And in recent news to hand, the general meeting of the Blind Citizens Australia Brisbane branch, which we mentioned last week, was duly held on Saturday, and the office bearers were Steve Richardson, elected as the coordinator, Paul Price, the assistant coordinator, and the third bank signatory was Mark Muscat. We hope to speak with Steve and or Paul at some stage in the near future. If you'd like to get in touch with Blind Citizens Australia, whether it's to find out information about blindness and vision impairment or services available to people who are blind or vision impaired, then give them a ring. 1-800-033-660 is the telephone number, 1-800-033-660. If you'd like to email them, bca@bca.org.au is the email address, and of course bca.org.au is the website. I'm Vaughan Bennison. It's been a pleasure to have your company for this program. See you again next week.
We'll achieve the realization of our dreams. Of our dreams.